And let's bow in prayer again just before we preach God's word. And let us ask the Lord for his help as we come into God's presence again, asking the Lord to fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're in the meeting tonight and you're not a Christian yet. You're not saved yet. Well, our prayer is that even tonight, the Lord will speak to you again and save your precious soul. And my prayer is even that the Lord will draw you lovingly and tenderly to the foot of the cross. And I pray tonight also that the Lord will come and bless us who are saved, that he'll encourage us and strengthen us, speak to our hearts through the word of God this evening. Father in heaven, we commit our way to thee. We confess our need. And oh God, our need is great. What a responsibility it is to preach the word of God, to open up the scriptures, to seek to expound the word of light. We just pray tonight, Lord, that you would come and there might be a freshness as we would speak this evening. Oh God, we thank thee for these studies in Acts, and we know, Lord, that many of these, indeed all of these chapters, are so familiar to many of us. We've read them so often, and they've blessed our hearts so often. Oh God, we've just prayed tonight again that they might bless our hearts again. Oh God, fill us with the Holy Spirit. Fill us with the Holy Ghost, Lord. We pray that you would help us to rightly divide the word of truth. Oh God, we look at this man, Paul, and we know, Lord, that he was only a sinner saved by grace. And yet, Lord, how you took him up and you used him. Lord, how we long that you would take our lives up and use us in the work of God. We pray, Lord, that you would send us again a breath of revival into our lives, into our families, into our churches, into our land. Oh, we pray for a moving of God the Holy Spirit. Give us again, Lord, many tokens for good. We look to thee. Oh God, we recognize that if anything's going to be done, only God can do it. If anything's going to be accomplished, only God can accomplish it. Therefore, Lord, we cast ourselves upon thee. And we pray, Lord, tonight that you would close us in with yourself. Oh God, that you would shut out the world and defeat the devil, cover our meeting in the precious blood of the Lamb. We pray, oh God, that we might this night hear the still small voice of God speaking to us. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Please turn to Acts chapter 20, that portion of scripture which we have read earlier on there. In Acts 20, the Apostle Paul, as you know, is saying farewell to the elders at Ephesus. For 3 years, Paul had not only labored among them faithfully, but he had seen many of them saved and established in the faith. But the time has come for the great apostle to say his farewells, because the Lord has called him to other fields of service. Although the apostle is moving on in God's will, there are great scenes of emotion here as Paul speaks to God's people for the last time. Indeed, so emotional is Paul that he does not even go to Ephesus to say his farewells, but he calls the elders to Miletus in order to instruct them before he leaves. One of the reasons for this, I believe, was because if Paul knew that if he had gone to Ephesus to say his farewells, he might have been tempted to stay, because he loved the people so much and would have found the parting nigh impossible. However hard as it was, Paul's only desire, of course, was to do the will of God and to go where God wanted him to go. And it was God's will now for Paul to move from Ephesus to serve the Lord in other places. There's only one thing worse than going somewhere out of God's will, and that's staying somewhere out of God's will. Thus, Paul knew that he would have no peace in his heart if he stayed in Ephesus. He had to obey the command of God, and he had to leave Ephesus. But before he does, he gathers the elders together, and he speaks to them. And that's what we have here in this portion of Scripture which we have read. And very simply tonight at the end of our meeting, I want to draw your attention to this subject, Paul's farewell to the church at Ephesus. And I pray as we do so that the Lord will speak to all of our hearts, that there might be a message here for each and every one of us. I believe that there is. I believe there's a message here for God's people, those of us who are saved and love the Lord. And I do pray that the Lord will speak to our hearts. But I believe also there's a message here for those who are not saved. And I pray tonight, if you're found in the meeting and you're not born again of the Spirit of God, that even through the message tonight, that the Lord will speak to your heart and that the Lord will draw you to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, I want you to notice the work that was done through Paul at Ephesus. God richly blessed Paul in his service for Christ in this city. You will notice a number of things about the apostle's work at Ephesus. Indeed, as you study down these verses here, the three things are emphasized. First of all, Paul was a faithful servant at Ephesus. Not only was he a faithful servant at Ephesus, but he was a fervent preacher. And not only was he a fervent preacher, but he was a friend to all of God's people. First of all, take a look at verse 18 there, and you'll notice how faithful Paul was in his service, in the work of God at Ephesus. Look at verse 18. "And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know that from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons." And look at verse 20. "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house." You see, Paul's only aim and goal was to serve the Lord faithfully. Look at verse 24. Again, another verse we can underline. "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Paul had a heart for the work, and he had a heart for the people, and he loved the people. And his desire as he served God among the people at Ephesus was to point them to Christ and to see them redeemed and saved by the grace of God. And there's no doubt when you study these verses, he was a fervent preacher as he served the Lord in Ephesus. Look at verse 19. It says, "Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears." Look at verse 21. "Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." Look at verse 26 and 27. "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." And as Paul preached, we have already noticed this. There were many who were saved, and there were many who came to a knowledge of sins forgiven. Look at verse 20 of Acts chapter 19. This verse, we have emphasized it before, but look what it says. Underline the words again. "So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed." So Paul was a faithful servant, and he was a man who sought to bring before the people the full counsel of God. This is how he served the Lord. This is how he worked. And of course, as we've already emphasized there, he was a friend to all of God's people. He loved the people of God. Look at verse 36 down to verse 38 of chapter 20. And you'll read these words. "And when he had thus spoken, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore," underline it, "and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more, and they accompanied him unto the ship." Not only did he love them, but they loved him. And such was their affection towards him that when he was leaving them, there were many tears. Here we can see the love which God's people had for the apostle. Paul accomplished much for God in the city of Ephesus. My friend, let me say to you tonight, if you're found in this meeting and you're not saved and born again of the Spirit of God, we love you for Christ. And we want to see you saved. And the reason why we want to see you saved is because you need to be saved. And you need to come to a knowledge of sins forgiven. And every time we get up into this pulpit and preach the gospel, the reason why we plead with your souls is because we know and believe God's word. And we know and believe that you have a soul that needs to be converted. And I pray tonight that as you're gathered together in this meeting and as you're here under the sound of the gospel, that the Lord will take his word afresh and write it upon your heart and upon your soul. You see, as Paul served the Lord in Ephesus, as he was that faithful servant, and as he was that fervent preacher, and as he was that friend to all, he faithfully declared unto them, as we have already pointed out, the whole counsel of God. He warned them that there was a hell to shun. He told them that there was a heaven to gain. And he emphasized, even we have seen this in the reading so far tonight, he emphasized to them that if they were ever going to get into heaven, then there must be repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, that's the truth tonight. And we say it lovingly and we say it tenderly to you. But we say it on the authority of God's precious word. If you are ever going to get into heaven and escape the flames of hell, then there must be in your life repentance towards God. In other words, you must turn away from your sin and you must turn away from your iniquity. You must acknowledge that you are the sinner and you must come by faith and trust the Lord Jesus as your own and personal Redeemer. And you know, there were many in Ephesus who were converted. We have already pointed that out, and we have seen that even in the course of these study. Many who were saved, wonderfully, gloriously saved. And here's Paul after 3 years saying his farewell, and their eyes are full of tears because Paul had pointed them to the Lord. Paul, through the word of God, the Lord had used them to build them up on their most holy faith. They recognized here was a faithful man of God. Here was a man who loved their souls and a man who told them the truth. And although at the time it hurt them, although at the time they may have rebelled for a season, when they eventually got saved and trusted Christ, they recognized that everything that the apostle had told them was the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. My friend, we're here tonight just to simply tell you the truth of the gospel, the truth of your need of salvation, the truth that not only does the preacher love your soul, but more importantly, the Lord Jesus Christ loves your soul. And on that cross of Calvary, he died and shed his blood in order to save you, in order to redeem you. He died the just for the unjust, that he might bring you to God. Oh, I pray this evening that you will come, turn from your sin and seek the Lord. Oh, the work that was done through Paul at Ephesus. We can see it here very simply, how the Lord used him and how the Lord blessed him. But I want you to notice something else here. Take a look at verse 29, and you'll notice the warning that was given to them from Paul. Paul gave a warning. As he said his farewells, he gave a warning. And Paul gave the elders at Ephesus a twofold warning. First of all, he warned them about the enemy without. Look at verse 29. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. He warns them about false prophets. Now, even in the days of Paul at Ephesus, there were false prophets, false shepherds, those who were propagating a false gospel. And he warns about these false prophets. Now, of course, this was nothing new. The Lord Jesus, when he walked upon this earth, he warned about false prophets as well. Matthew chapter 7. Just turn over to Matthew chapter 7 and you'll see here the words of Christ. to his disciples. Verse 15, he says this to them in Matthew 7. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravaging wolves. Here we have the description of the false prophets. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. They deceive people because they look like true prophets. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ is pointing out here to the disciples. And we can see the deception of the false prophet. And we can see the description of the false prophet. Inwardly they are ravaging wolves. And we can see, of course, if you take a look at verse 23, the destruction of the false prophet. So the Lord here, he speaks about these false prophets and he describes them clearly. But he also points out to the disciples their destruction. Look at verse 23. And then will I profess unto them, speaking about the false prophet, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You know, child of God, men and women, even in this age in which we live, we all know, we're aware that there are false prophets, false teachers. And prior to the second coming of Christ, false prophets will be on the increase. False prophets are not going to get less as this world draws to a close. Rather, they are going to increase greatly. Indeed, the Lord Jesus Christ said this just before he died upon the cross, Matthew chapter 24. Let me just read you these words from verses 3 to verse 5. Jesus said this, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? And Jesus said, answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And then in verse 11 of Matthew 24, Jesus says this, and many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. Shall deceive many. And here we have Paul, and he's saying his farewells in Acts chapter 20 to the elders of Ephesus, to the people of God. And before he leaves the church, he warns them about this enemy from without, these false prophets who would come and seek to deceive even the very elect of God themselves. You know, if you're not saved tonight, there's a battle going on for your soul, a battle going on for your soul. And the devil is battling on the one side, and God is battling on the other side. And the devil will do everything to stop you and prevent you from coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's the purpose of the devil for your life, to stop you from getting saved. And he will do everything within his power to stop you. And he'll send into your mind confusion. And he'll want you to listen to lies and to the false prophets. And he'll want you to question whether the Bible is the Word of God or whether it's not, whether you need to be saved or whether you don't need to be saved. And the devil will do everything in order to prevent you from coming to a knowledge of sins forgiven. My friend, that's why you tonight need to listen to the gospel of the Lord Jesus. That's why you tonight need to realize that the Bible is the Word of God, that the Scriptures are true, and that you do need to be saved, that you do need to be born again, and that tonight you need to repent and believe by faith the gospel of this book. I wonder tonight, what are you thinking when we preach the gospel? Do you think there's another way to heaven? Do you think that there's another way that you can escape hell? Do you think that someone else is right and that the Bible is wrong? My friend, that's the devil working in the heart, your heart. Oh, I pray this evening that the Lord will come, and even tonight that the Lord will reveal to you your great need of God's eternal redemption, and that the Lord will reveal to you tonight that Jesus Christ is the only Savior, for neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Oh, Paul here warned the people of Ephesus. He says, when I leave, When I leave, there's going to be false teachers, and they're going to come, those from without, and they're going to seek to propagate false Christs and false gospels. But notice verse 30. Take a look at Acts chapter 20 again, and you notice that Paul also warned them not only of the enemy without, but of an enemy within the church. Look at verse 30. Also of your own selves, underline it, shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Paul not only warns them about the enemy without, he warns them about an enemy within. And of course, when you study Paul's epistles, Paul speaks of this enemy within the church on many different occasions. For example, in 2 Timothy 3, verse 13 and 14, when Paul was writing to Timothy, he said this, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learnt them." And then in Titus 1, verses 10 and 11, Paul said this concerning these enemies from within, "And there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who pervert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake." Why did Paul warn them about the enemy without and the enemy within? So that they would not lose out with God, the people of God. And yet, the sad reality is, this church did lose out with God. This church at Ephesus, it did lose out with God after the Apostle Paul left. Did you know that? Well, keep your hand in Acts chapter 20 for a moment and turn over to Revelation chapter 2, the last book in the Bible. And we read there how the church at Ephesus lost out with God. It says in verse 1 of Revelation 2, "Unto the angel," or unto the minister, "of the church at Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. They were so faithful in so many ways, and hast borne," verse 3, "and hast patience, and for my name's sake has labored, and has not fainted. Nevertheless," now this is the church. This is the church that Paul is saying farewell to in Acts chapter 20. This is the church that he's warning about the enemy without and the enemy within. And here's God's testimony of this church. After Paul left, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." And thou hast left. Could this be the same church that we read about in Acts? Could this be the church that's on fire for God? Could this be the church that souls are being saved, that many are coming to Christ? Could this be the same church that Paul ministered in for 3 years and saw revival blessing? Yes. Not only could it be, it is. It is. And you know, child of God, there's a warning there for you and I. Warning for you and I as we seek to serve the Lord in this 21st century. God's work, we can lose out with God so quickly. The devil can come in and weaken the body of Christ just in a moment. And that's why we need to always be on our guard day by day. We thank the Lord for his blessing down through the years and for the Lord keeping his hand upon us. And we praise the Lord for that. But the truth is this, that the devil can work so quickly. And here we have the Apostle Paul. You see, Paul knew what was going to happen. And Paul knew how the enemy would come in like a flood. And that's exactly what happened here. Oh, child of God, there's a warning here for us. And I pray in these days that the Lord will keep us looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Even in our own lives, we're thinking of the church, we're thinking of the body of Christ, but even in our own lives as individual Christians, things can change so quickly. That's why it's so important day by day to stay close to the Lord, to recognize that we are only but sinners saved by grace, because the enemy can come. And of course, you and I know that every day we fight against the world and the flesh and the devil. And it's a battle, it's a spiritual battle that we're in. But thank God the Lord has promised to keep his hand upon us if we look unto Jesus day by day, the author and the finisher of our faith. That's why Paul exhorted the saints to put on the whole armor of God. To put on the whole armor of God. And the truth is that there's not one of us here tonight that's not capable of backsliding. There's not one of us who are saved here tonight that's not capable of going back and living in the world again. There's not one of us here tonight that's not capable of losing our first love. And that's what had happened to this church after Paul left. Now, we're not sure exactly how long it took for them to lose their first love. We're not told that. But we are told that this church that Paul is addressing here, these elders that Paul are addressing here in Acts chapter 20, this very church lost out with God in the years, the days that lay ahead. They left their first love. I wonder, is there someone here tonight? Is there someone here tonight and you've left your first love? You're backslidden. Oh, you're not out in the pub. You're not out in the clubs and in the dance halls of this world. Outwardly, maybe no one can see a great difference in you, but in your heart, you're walking with God afar off. And you know, that's where backsliding, of course, begins. It begins in the heart. It begins in the heart of the Christian. And we stop reading our Bibles and we stop praying. We stop fellowshipping with God. And before you know it, the enemy has come in. And we don't love the Lord and we're not walking with the Lord the way we used to walk with the Lord. We haven't got the same desires that we used to have when we were first saved, when we were first converted. Is there someone here like that tonight? Oh, thank God the Lord is married to the backslider and there's mercy with the Lord and he can restore the years and the months and the weeks that the locals have eaten. Thank God for that. But oh, I pray if there's a backslider here tonight and you've left your first love, that the Lord will speak to you and draw you back, because he's only a prayer away. Acknowledge your sin. Acknowledge your backsliding. Acknowledge that you've failed. Acknowledge that you're cold in heart. And thank God the Lord will restore you. He's merciful. He's merciful. But you can see here the warning. And it's so important that you notice the warning. But notice something else here. Turn back again to Acts chapter 20. I want you to notice here not only the work that was done through Paul at Ephesus and the affection here that the people of God had for Paul and he had for them, and not only the warning that Paul gave them here of this enemy without and within, but I want you to notice the wholehearted commendation that was declared by Paul. Look at verse 32. Underline this verse. "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." In this commendation here, just before Paul says his farewells, he draws their attention to the Lord. "And now, brethren, I commend you to God." Isn't that wonderful? And he exhorts them to live in the light of God's word. That's what he says there. In verse 32, "I commend you to God and to the word of his grace." And he reminds them also of their position in Christ, because he goes on to say, "which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified." Child of God, what blessings we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the wonder of this so great salvation that God in mercy has bestowed upon us through the Lord Jesus. Isn't it wonderful to be able to say it tonight that we are redeemed not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Thank God His grace has saved us, and we belong to Him. And all our spiritual blessings are found in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful truth that is. What a wonderful truth. And I pray as we leave God's house tonight, and as we think of what the Lord has done for us afresh, that we might leave rejoicing and praising God for His so great salvation that He has bestowed upon us. He has given to us not only life, but eternal life. He has given to us not only a home in heaven, but a mansion in heaven. He has prepared for us a mansion in the glory. And when we leave this scene of time, thank God we'll leave this old sinful world behind us and we will enter into our eternal inheritance. And we will spend eternity with Christ, which is far, far better. Oh, I wonder, are you tonight prepared and ready for heaven? These spiritual blessings that so many in this gospel meeting have, do you have them? Do you have them? Are you sure if you were to die right now that you would be in God's heaven? Has God's grace saved you? Is God your Father? Is Christ your Savior? Have you an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away? Is Jesus your Redeemer? My friend, only you can answer that question. Only you can answer that question. You and God. Oh, I pray tonight that you will answer it honestly within your heart and within your soul. You need tonight, this very night, to come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. Here we have a preacher. Here we have a missionary. And for 3 years, he served the Lord in Ephesus. And what love there was between the people and him. But he's leaving now. He's leaving. But as he leaves, he remembers over those 3 years and how he was faithful to their souls and how the Lord blessed. And as he leaves, he warns them. And as he leaves, he commends them to God. Oh, I pray tonight, my friend, when you and I come to leave this scene of time, and someday we will say farewell to our loved ones upon earth. Someday you will say farewell to your loved ones on earth. You ever think about that day when you will die, when you will say your last farewells upon this scene of time, when you will close your eyes at last in death and go out into God's eternity? Where will your soul be in eternity? When you close your eyes in death, where will you be 5 minutes after you die? Because wherever you will be 5 minutes after you die, that's where you will spend all eternity. Either in heaven or in hell. Oh, my friend, that's why we exhort you. Come to Christ. Come to the Savior. And trust Him. Let us all pray.